What did we do before Google? This astonishes me. Amy agreed with me, Amy Verrill, one of my producers here, John Thompson Mills, and we're going to hear from John Thompson Mills. They're doing a producer's choice of stories later in the show. If I'm watching a movie or a TV show, I'm often Googling the people in it or the people involved. But I've always done that. I mean, even well before Google, I would refer to, say, the Leslie Halliwell Film Guide or Film Guide's Companion. But what it has taken over, it is a revolution. Let's go to Stilgarian, internet security expert. Hello, Stilgarian.
Good afternoon and or evening, Peter.
There are revolutions, aren't there? I was reading an article about Luther, whose reformation happened to, happily for him, and the Reformation coincide with the invention of the printing press.
Yes.
Or the popularity, the first popularity of the printing press. I suppose we've had this before with, it's hard to imagine life before radio or the movies or television.
Or the railways.
Or the railway.
Electricity.
Sure.
Or all these things. Yes.
Sure. I mean, you know, the bullock trains went at 5 miles an hour.
I'll have to rely on your memory of these things, Peter.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Now, Stilgarian, what did we do before Google?
Well, how far back do you want to go? Do you want to go still the internet? Because Google's, funnily enough, 20 years old this year.
But it hasn't. But, I mean, it took a while to sort of catch on, didn't it?
And there were
various search engines you could choose from. You still can, of course.
That's right. But in the sort of 1990s, I mean, the web became a thing in 1991,
sure.
Out to the public, and commercial internet access was available to people in Australia in about 94, 95, 96.
So, say late 90s, by the time it had bitten, and everybody's using Mr. Wiki.
Yes, yes. Wikipedia is a whole other thing, but that became possible just with the growth of we're getting off track here, but the growth of the internet, the number of people around meant that you could build enormous things just with people putting in a couple of hours a week of free labour in their field of expertise.
Yes.
And suddenly you have Wikipedia, which is more extensive than any encyclopedia in the world's history.
Yes.
More up to date, obviously, because you know, someone dies and the fact that they've died is there within minutes, if not seconds. And in some areas, it is as accurate or even more accurate as the traditional printed encyclopedias with their paid editors and so on.
But, of course, it's information rather than knowledge, isn't it? And we're raising a generation which knows a little about a lot rather than a lot about a little.
Yeah, but is that, and I wonder how much of that is sort of the moral panic that every generation has that the younger generation is doing it wrong.
Yes.
Because it used to be when books started being used and kids staying indoor reading, and you and I were probably both told this, stop putting your head into a book all the time, get outside and learn something from the real world.
Yes.
And then, of course, television came, and don't watch television, you should be reading.
Oh, we were too poor to have books or television still, Gary.
Well, so, there was a bit of that going around at our place, too.
We had a half a brick.
Half a television.
no, but yes, you're quite right. Look it up in your Funk and Wagnalls. People had encyclopedia. You know, you had the World Book had salesmen. An Encyclopedia Britannica had salesmen knocking at your door. It was a big investment for a family.
If you bought, and we had the World Book Encyclopedia, you could buy it volume by volume and pay it off.
Yes.
In the month. So obviously there are a lot of families who got keen about this and they know everything from A to B.
That was interesting. So, now, Johnny, don't... make sure you only look things up, need to know things are beginning with F, because we can't afford G, H, I, J, etc.
I mean, they were they were an expensive thing to get.
Yeah, they were.
The printed encyclopedia.
Mm.
And then you know, you wanted to keep going and get the annual update volume, which kept going. Anyone under the age of probably 30 listening to this now, certainly under the age of 25, will go, what on earth are you old farts talking about?
Yes.
How on earth could you look up details of what was happening in a country when it was printed 10 years ago. I mean, the name of the president's going to be wrong, their gross domestic product is going to be wrong, and so on. But I suppose that was something we took on board.
Yes, we did.
I mean, we accepted that. And I'm always, and again, I'm reminded of accounts of the world from people who were on the other side of the world from, say, a war, and the newspapers would arrive once every 3 months in a batch, and that was sort of 6 months old.
If that, yes.
So much of that, we take the fact that we are instantly connected to, well, I won't say the sum of the world's knowledge, because it's not everything is on the internet. There are significant gaps.
There are.
But I'm sitting here in a gazebo outside a pub in the Blue Mountains, quite some distance from you. Here we are talking. I've got a little tablet in front of me, which I can look up anything we can name it in an instant.
No.
A little early in the day for the Xanax, Peter.
Yeah.
So we probably need that. But if you just threw a question at me now, what is the gross domestic product of Venezuela? And we can both have that at our fingertips, wherever we are.
But there's things that people don't know.
Like how to behave on train.
There were a lot more reference books. The reference shelves in bookshops has shrunk considerably. Well, here's something. I knew this the other day. Was Kenneth Laird in My Fair Lady in Australia? There you are. You can look that up while I speak with Nikki White, librarian at the National Library. Hello, Nikki.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
Thank you. Before Google, we came to libraries. We used libraries for the books therein more, didn't we?
Yes, that's what I have noticed, a definite change working in the reading room, is that before, people would come in with many different questions and you would have to dig around for them using various types of reference books. In fact, several refurbishments of the National Library ago, one whole huge room was full, floor to ceiling, with reference books. They'd be encyclopedias, they would be periodical indexes, and book lists and all sorts of things like that. And then the other room was where you actually did your reading. Well, these days, we do definitely have reference books around, but perhaps only about half of what we used to have. And people come in, they've already primed themselves. They've usually looked through Google, or if they're doing genealogy, they've gone through, say, Pioneer Index or something like that. And we're about to get the closing signal.
Oh! The National Library's closing.
What they're doing is taking it to the next step for them. They've already, they're much more self-sufficient than they were.
And, oh, what's it saying?
Oh, they're just closing the library down. I apologise for that dreadful noise. It's now finished.
Your magazine is excellent there at the National Library, Nikki.
Oh, good, thank you. That's not my section, but I'll pass it on to my colleague.
It's an excellent magazine. We used libraries. We used encyclopedias. I mean, my grandparents had one book in the house, and it was Pear's Cyclopedia. Remember that?
Oh, very much so. It's still around.
Is it really?
Yes.
Well, a new edition.
It was very handy the other day. I got a question about, you know, the Alpha Tango Charlie type alphabet?
Yes.
It's in there. Because I actually I just took a part, picked it up, flicked it through, and there it was, and I was able to answer the question.
In Pear's Cyclopedia?
Yes.
Good heavens, I had no idea. And so how have the inquiries to you and to librarians changed, Nikki?
Well, like I said, a lot of the... they've become... they've already done the first stages by using the internet to find out basic stuff, and then they've gone past that. They want more information, which they can't get their hands on. And, well, we have databases which are licensed, therefore they're not available to the general public, so therefore we can use those databases to find information. Some of them are full text, some of them are indexes and things like that. So they're more specialized, the queries. And you get less reference queries of that, of the more general sort, because people are wanting it much more detailed, much more specialised information.
I found the State Library here very helpful in this regard, Nikki, as I'm sure you are at the National Library. A couple of inquiries that had defeated me and defeated the internet, but librarians were able to access it, material mainly, and that's thrilling. That this is part of the future of libraries too, isn't it?
Well, that's right. We can provide a service that is more specialised and is more detailed. And also we can guide people.
Yes.
It's not, we don't just necessarily hand them an answer on a plate. Or we point out where they can find this information using some of these paid-for databases and or even on the internet. And we also teach people how to assess the information they find. You know, what is the source of this? Like if, on Wikipedia, which we were talking about earlier, Wikipedia is a wonderful resource, but there is a certain amount, you know, it's Sturgeon's Law, 90% of everything is rubbish.
Yes.
Well, not that much with Wikipedia. There is stuff in there which is a bit questionable, but on the other hand, there are other materials in there that's been put in by people who are obviously specialists, like a council, will put in information about the history of their particular place that they're the council of, and you think, well, they would certainly know what they were talking about.
But as ever, with search engines or without, we don't know what we don't know. So if we're looking up a quick answer on Wikipedia or somewhere, we get that information, which may be wrong, and we've nothing to compare it with. And then we move on to something else.
That's part of the reference librarian interview, is where you actually try and find out what the person really wants, not what they say they want. You kind of tease out the question and find out, well, actually, what you're really after isn't what you're looking at, and you really want to go and look at this over here, because that will give you that information, that kind of thing.
It brings knowledge, but it doesn't bring erudition, does it, Nikki, necessarily?
No, it certainly doesn't bring wisdom, either.
No, quite. Nikki, thank you very much. Nikki White, librarian at the National Library. Paul McCarthy coming up with the news behind the news. Let's go back to Stilgarian. Hello, Stilgarian.
Hello again, Peter.
Did you find out about Kenneth Laird?
No, I've been just looking at the people wandering past on this lovely Friday afternoon.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Oh. Well, there you go. thanks for being involved, Stilgarian.
Look, my pleasure, Peter. And look, if I can add, that changing role of librarians is it. And I do my afternoons work quite often in a library because it's a great place to be.
Yes.
And just the librarians are clearly loving the fact they're no longer getting just the endless, can you show me the latest Dan Brown novel or what's the capital of Peru or all that.
Yes.
But that deeper, hey, all of these databases you've got access to here, which one should I be looking in? Which one can I trust? And so on. And they're loving it.
That's good. That's a very valuable thing to note. Thank you very much, Stilgarian. All the
pleasure,
best.
Pleasure, Peter. You too. Have a great weekend.
Texts flooding in here, 0467922891. I have a bookmark which I got from the State Library, and it's written, Google can bring you back 100,000 answers. A librarian can bring you back the right one. From Kathy, then. Ain't that the truth?